thanks for joining us this morning. In the studio, we have Officer Christine Montoya and Officer Melissa. You say your last name.
Aon.
Aon. And they're from Tucson Police Department. Before we start talking about our topics today, I want to remind everybody it's the holiday season, and a lot of people have been running red lights. And I've seen it. In fact, this morning I saw it. It just takes a nanosecond to look left, to look right, and make sure nobody, some yahoo, is not running a red light. You need to start driving defensively. When the light turns yellow, that means slow down and stop. That doesn't mean gun it. And if you're on a bicycle, even more important, you need to be responsible for your safety. So look left, look right before you proceed. The green light does not mean go. It means look left, look right. Now, let's talk. Let's talk about Merry Christmas. I hope everybody had a great Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I want to talk about your backgrounds before we start talking about anybody else's. Christina, let's start with you. Okay. How long have you been on the department? What was your incentive? What got you involved?
Okay, so I started the academy January 27th, and I graduated June 25th, and I started my FTO process July 6th.
Okay, what is FTO?
Okay, so that's your field training.
Okay.
So you're actually out in the field training.
So you're brand new.
Yes, I'm absolutely brand new.
What was your background before you got on the department?
So I worked as a case manager at an adolescent residential treatment center for teens from the ages of 13 to 18 in Farmington, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you brought that training with you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Melissa,
you can look call me at Melissa.
Me, looking at me like, you know, okay. It's your turn. How long have you been on the department?
15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah. I've had a great career.
What made you decide to become a law enforcement officer?
Honestly, it was kind of timing. Now I have three. I had two kids at the time. And, benefits were important to me. I grew up without health insurance, and as a mom, I wanted to be able to provide for my kids, and I felt that law enforcement was a way to set a good example for them and to provide for them. So really, that it was the benefits. It wasn't necessarily my lifelong dream. it was not.
Okay, what was your lifelong dream?
I don't even know.
You know, that's something people realize.
Be a trophy wife and stay at home with a nanny and a maid.
Exactly. I want to be a princess.
That didn't work out, by the way.
Yeah, they didn't have that class at Pima.
No.
So you've been... How many different departments have you worked in since you've started?
Oh, gosh. So I started my career. Well, I went through the academy just like everybody does, field training. Then I started my career out in Operations Division East, so working patrol on the east side.
So you know about these red light runners?
Yes.
Okay.
I think everybody that lives in Tucson knows. Then I worked in human resources for a while. I was a backgrounds investigator. I've worked as a medical liaison for a while. I went back to patrol in Operations Division West, working patrol on the west side. And then about a little less than a year and a half ago, I became a recruiter for the department.
Okay, what is a medical
liaison? So I actually helped with the claims for all the injured employees, all the injured officers. So okay. I was kind of the liaison between city human resources and the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. So if they came officers. In and said they stubbed their toe, you have to look at their toe or what?
I didn't look at their toe. That's the city physician's job.
let me see your toe. Okay. If you're going to invite somebody to be a part of the department, and this is something people have to qualify to be a law enforcement.
They do.
It's not something you just say, oh, nothing else to do. I think I'll go into law. Tell me what the requirements are.
Minimum requirements are you have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to have either a high school diploma or a GED, a valid unrestricted driver's license for the last with a 2-year driving history.
What does unrestricted mean? You can't wear glasses. Wait, what are the restrictions? You have a file full of tickets you haven't paid.
You can wear. I wear contacts, so I have corrective lenses. Unrestricted means it can't be currently suspended or.
Okay. So okay.
You can't be on limitations where you can only drive to and from work or.
You're not wearing an ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
And your car isn't sporting a Denver
boot.
Probably
not preferred. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Okay. What else?
You have to be 21 years of age by the time you graduate the academy. So you can start applying when you're 20. You just have to be 21 by the time you reach graduation.
Now, is it the same for corrections? Do you have to be 21 to work corrections?
I don't believe so. I'm not in corrections, but I believe that's 18. You can start.
That's what I thought.
So
I'm not sure, though.
Gateway.
Exactly.
Into law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else?
And no felony convictions. Those are the minimum requirements.
Go figure. So, I know you have an event coming up on Wednesday.
We do.
Let's talk about that.
So, and Officer Montoya is actually going to join me. That is going to be our Women in Law Enforcement virtual event. The whole reason we're here today is because the Tucson Police Department is now hiring. And we hosted a virtual open house last week. And so,
how does that work? A virtual open house.
So we go on, we did it through Microsoft Teams, but it's kind of like Zoom, where my partner and I, Officer Acosta, we went in front of the camera and we talked about the hiring process, what to expect, kind of like what we're going to do today.
Did you give them a tour of the facility?
We did not. No.
Okay.
We
that's
didn't do
what
that.
I'm thinking, you know. All right.
No, we just, and then we held a question and answer session at the end. So anyone who is interested in law enforcement, if they had any questions for us, we could answer
did
those.
Did you get some good questions?
We did, actually.
Yeah, like what? Because most people have the same questions.
Most people do have the same questions in reference to, you know, what are the benefits like? What's the pay? What can they expect in the academy? We actually had the question of...
what do you expect?
Just like you asked me, what brought you into law enforcement?
Yes.
What were your challenges that you experienced in the academy? How did you overcome them? Those were some of the questions.
Okay, let's answer all those questions.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You brought it up.
yeah.
Okay, so, when you go to the academy, are you there for 6 weeks? Or what? How long is it?
It's now 25.
Is it 25? Mine is
yes.
23.
So do you go home every day or do you stay at the academy?
Yes. So we go home. If you live in Tucson, you can go home.
All of our employees.
Yeah.
All of Tucson, the city of Tucson or Tucson Police Department employees go home every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So typically, the academy is, the typical academy schedule is 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And you're going to get one account. It's a long day. You're going to want to account to be there a little early, and you're going
to
want to be there a little late.
Negative.
Okay.
Tea and crumpets. So it is. It's a long day. However, you get to work Monday through Thursday for the most part. So you have 3-day weekends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So from the get-go, which is awesome. I believe the longer work day is totally worth the extra day off.
Absolutely.
Yes. I did too.
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
So, 7 to 5:30. And I apologize. What was your other question? What is the...
Okay. When you get there, what do you anticipate? When you arrive at 7 o'clock, what do you do? Is there a roll call and then everybody has to do push-ups or what?
Oh, yeah. very similar. So actually, we would arrive early because we have to do a flag. And so the academy is...
And flag is what?
So it's a paramilitary organization.
Right.
So you would go, you would do flag. I don't know how to explain
it. That's where you post. They as a group, they get together and they go out to the flag and post colors.
Okay.
Every day.
Every day.
You start and end your day.
Do you sing the Star Spangled Banner?
No.
Do you say the Pledge of Allegiance?
No, we do not. We salute the flag and then we have to do push-ups.
See? There you go. Push-ups right away. How many?
Yes. It just depends.
On the mood your instructor's in, or?
It depends on if your other fellow recruits are doing proper push-ups.
Oh, so it's based on that.
Yes.
I know that philosophy.
Yes. So the baseline is 20 push-ups, but if someone does 15, they owe 5. So
everybody has to do 5 more.
Yes, exactly.
Is your instructor a former Marine?
It seemed like it. I'm not too sure. I was like, oh, no.
I say that because both my parents were in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And it was like boot camp. I mean, for 18 years.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we had to sing cadences. We had to learn how to march. And I'm horrible at marching. Still to this day, I'm horrible at it. So.
Yeah, it's a skill that has to be learned and practiced and practiced and practiced.
Absolutely.
What else do you do in training camp for 21 weeks? I didn't know it was so long.
25.
25?
25.
Oh, pardon.
It's going to be 25 now.
Yeah. So we're exposed to different scenarios that we might experience in field training. We have training with firearms and vehicles, and that lasts, I believe it's 5 weeks that we do that for.
Do you have to have a minimum score with your firearm
before you do?
They let you loose on the street and go, oh, he's a bad shot.
Yeah. So the minimum score, I believe, is 210. And you,
out of what?
250.
250.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you have to, so you have to get that score twice. So you qualify 3 times and you have to get at least above 210.
Okay.
Twice.
And did you have firearm training before you arrived at the academy?
Absolutely not.
Neither did I. I had never shot a gun in my life.
Right.
Do they teach you how to maintain a weapon?
Absolutely.
Clean
it
up, absolutely.
Everything you have
officer
to do
safety,
with it.
Officer safety, gun safety, we get all of those classes. Everything you need to, mm-hmm. and that's what the academy is. Everything you need to learn how to be a police officer, you learn at the academy.
Yes.
I did not come into this job mm-hmm. with any idea, really, what I would be doing or what I was, how to do in any of it. It was all brand new to me.
So you can't just watch TV and think that's going to be my job because it's so different.
That's part of the fun of the academy. And I say fun kind of loosely.
No, it's fun now.
every day is really different. And mm-hmm. every single day is scheduled out. Your first day of the academy, you show up and you get a syllabus of an outline of the next 25 weeks. You mm-hmm. know, so if there's any deviation in that schedule, which there is, because there's nighttime training and other things that you have to do. So any deviation in that, you're going to know from day one.
Okay.
That way, if you have children, you can plan ahead, or family events, or mm-hmm. whatever the circumstances are, you know what to expect for at least the next 25 weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, every day is different. You're going to do, you know, physical training. There's physical requirements that you have to meet to graduate.
Tell me, besides all the push-ups, you should be really good at the push-ups.
So Arizona Post has set standards with like the POPAT.
What's the POPAT? Did you say POPAT?
Yes.
Like on the Pope?
It's the acronym. I'm not entirely sure. I can't remember off the top of my head what the acronym stands for, but it's a physical agility test that you have to be able to accomplish. That it's a set standard by Arizona Post.
Okay.
So you have to meet and if you're not familiar with Arizona Post, they're the governing agency for all law enforcement in Arizona. So if the Tucson Police Department were to hire you to become a police officer, Arizona Post has to be willing to certify you. And for them to certify you, you have to meet certain criteria
standards.
Mm-hmm. And standards.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I know you have to know how to run, how to climb, how to jump the fence.
Yes.
How tall is that wall you have to jump over?
6 feet.
6 feet.
But we can get anybody over it.
You just drag people over the wall.
There's different things depending on your body type and your size, different ways that, some people can just use their arms and hoist themselves over the wall. I don't have that upper body strength. So me, I'll grab onto the wall and I'll kick my leg up and hook it over and pull myself the rest of the way.
So you made it over. How'd you do on the wall?
I did okay. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you learn, they teach you how to get over that wall.
So running around it doesn't count?
No.
Okay.
The academy is not meant to set you up for failure.
Yeah.
They want to see you succeed. They're going to give you all the training that mm-hmm. they can and all the opportunities that they can give you to help you succeed. We don't go through this whole process of hiring someone to try and make them fail. Absolutely not.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we need officers. We need more people to do this job. Yeah.
And females have a place in law enforcement.
Absolutely.
There's so much that guys can't do that a female can do.
It's not even boys versus girls.
No, it's not.
In both genders and both backgrounds, people bring their own skill set or their own personality mm-hmm. to the table. Everyone has something different to offer. Something I may not be good at, Christine may be good at.
Exactly.
Same thing, male versus females. They do say women are better at de-escalating situations.
Yeah.
But I've also shown up on a scene and had someone hate me
just because you were there.
Prefer to talk to a male mm-hmm. officer. So I don't necessarily think that's completely fair either, because we do have some great cops, mm-hmm. both male and female, that are out there and they have the empathy and the compassion and
the
communication skills to do what needs to be done to help people.
How do you feel about people that say they should have social workers answering these calls?
I think the concept is great. And honestly, we would love to have social workers come be police officers.
Yes.
We want that. We're all mm-hmm. about community policing. We're all about helping mentally ill.
But they need to be trained in your
part. But they need
to
be trained to do it safely.
Yeah.
And so to just send a social worker out to, help someone that's in crisis and without the tools to protect themselves, that's not fair.
No. That's irresponsible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
So I'm all for social workers doing this job. I just want them to come do it with us.
Yeah.
As one of us.
Mm-hmm. Go through 25 weeks of
absolutely.
Training.
Yeah. Anybody that's a social worker out there that wants to apply, we're now hiring.
Yes, there you go. So tell me about this event again that's happening on Wednesday. What are
you
guys doing?
So it's a Women in Law Enforcement virtual event. So I held the same event with our last hiring process in the fall. And with that process or with that virtual event, I always started off with a brief history on women in law enforcement within TPD. I think it's important to acknowledge the women who really set the path for us who are currently here today. Because this is and used to be a very male dominant career.
Yes.
This wasn't something most women did. And it's still something, there's a lot more women doing it now, but we do need more. So it's an opportunity for them to see women who are currently doing the job, women who have maybe never considered it or have considered it, but, had questions or fears in reference to it. Maybe we could answer some of those questions. The last event that I held, it was myself, it was a detective, a sergeant, and originally when I asked her to do it, it was a lieutenant, but she promoted that week to captain. So we all sat and we talked about our careers and our personal experiences, and then we did a question and answer session, because there's there's so many different things you can actually do within a career in law enforcement that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, you're not always in a car running around town with your lights and sirens on.
No.
Although when I called you, it was really noisy. I called and the little sirens are going.
I heard you laughing.
It's like, okay, you sound busy. Yeah. So, yeah, that was interesting. What happened? I should have asked you. What happened?
I was out at the academy for training. So we were conducting training out at the academy. And so I go out there often to help with scenarios.
Okay.
So part of what she was talking about with her experience in the academy is, you know, you do the driver's training, you do class, there's a ton of classroom.
That's the best part. The most fun is the driver training.
Driving week is a really good week. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Where do you guys do that?
Oh, at the academy.
You have the facility at the academy. I've never seen the academy.
10001 South Wilmot, the Southern Arizona Law Enforcement Training Center.
Mm-hmm. I've been to the prison.
Yeah. I'll take you out there sometime if you ever want to go.
I would love to see the academy.
Absolutely.
That would be good.
It's pretty cool. So we have a driving track out there where we do our driver's training. That's where, you know, the academy is at. That's where we do pretty much all of our training. We have a gun range out there. And so the scenario-based training is we have people come out. Sometimes it's volunteers. Sometimes it's other officers. And we set up scenarios for the recruits. And they go in and they try to deal with every scenario that is, whether it's an armed robbery or a stolen bicycle report. And then we, you know, teach them or talk to them about what they did right, what they did wrong, what they could do better, what they could do different, what they need to look for.
Different options.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And set that mindset to, you know, protect yourself.
Right. Officer safety.
That's huge. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Officer Christine Montoya from TPD and Officer Melissa.
Aeon.
Okay. Let's talk about who are you looking for? What kind of a person are you looking for? And what's the ages that other than 21, is there a cutoff age?
There's not. Not in Arizona. There's no.
So I can go apply.
You absolutely can. Mm-hmm. There's no maximum age requirement. Age at Arizona. Not in Arizona. Okay. Other states do, but not.
Yeah, I know. That's why I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I get that all. That's another question I get all the time.
Wow. So what kind of a person are you looking for? What, you know, the couch potato?
We talked. That's probably not going to work. We talked about minimum qualifications already. So we're looking for people. And I mentioned this earlier, pretty much anyone with any sort of background has something different to offer. Right. One of the great things about Tucson is how culturally diverse it is. And we really want the department to mirror the community. We want people with different backgrounds, experiences, ethnicities, you know, someone with customer service background or, like you said, a social service background may have a skill set to offer different from someone from the military. However, we want all of those people. We want, if you have a prior military experience, that's great life experience to bring to the table. If you have customer service experience, that's what we do day in and day out.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize it's mostly customer service.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's just amazing that people think you're out there just shooting everything up and arresting people for the funsies of it.
A big majority of it is problem solving, helping people figure out how to cope and deal with their problems that can't figure it out for themselves. You know, obviously someone of excellent character, the ability to empathize, communicate effectively. Pretty much anybody can do this job. If you come to us, we'll send you through the academy and we'll teach you how to be a police officer.
And whatever skill set you bring with you is just an added bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have people coming from the medical with medical backgrounds. You know, we've had nurses become police officers, medical assistants,
pharmacists.
It's a whole, my former partner, we were talking about him earlier, he was an architect prior to becoming a police officer. That's what he went to college for. But he, in the back of his head, always kind of wanted to be a police officer. And he was here in Tucson working as an architect, and we were hiring, and he went for it.
Said, what the heck? Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did he design the new academy over there?
He did not.
Okay. So you're not using his skill set.
No, we're not.
Maybe he can design a new jail.
Yeah. So, I think that's the sheriff's department.
Yeah. Cochise County needs somebody to fix their old jail. They have one of the oldest jails around, and it needs a little TLC.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I told him I'm going to do a fundraiser for you.
That's a great idea.
Mess. So, what else do we want to know? How many people are you hiring?
That is a great question. That's a question we get all the time. So we are going to hire as many qualified people as we can. We have not, as long, I can't remember the last time we filled an academy with as many officers as we, or recruits as we quote unquote wanted.
Okay. How many recruits can the academy hold? How large can a class be?
Oh goodness. When I went through the academy in 2005, I want to say we started with almost 100. It was a multi-agency then. So we still had the sheriff's department out there and several other agencies. So, and we still have several other agencies that go through our academy. The majority of it is Tucson, and now the sheriff's department is separated. So at that time,
what'd you do? Make him mad?
You know, that was before my time, and I had nothing to
not
do with
getting
that.
Into this.
I loved going through the academy with the sheriff's department, because you create bonds and networking with officers from other agencies. I still occasionally will cross paths with someone, or if we need something that the sheriff's department may have, I know a guy.
I know a guy. Let me borrow your dog. Yeah, I know that they all really work well together, all the departments. They share.
And that's the way it
sets.
Should be.
Absolutely.
The way we want it to be.
Absolutely.
We all have a common goal.
So how many people are you anticipating hiring before you're maxed out as far as the police department is concerned?
We don't have to be concerned with getting maxed out.
Because
yeah. So here's the thing. We have an extreme need for officers. We can't keep up with attrition. So back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a big push for hiring of police officers. So over the course of the next 5 years, there's a significant number of current officers who are going to be either hitting retirement age or eligibility to retire. So that's going to give them the opportunity to retire, and which leaves us with the need for more officers now to kind of fill those spaces.
So you don't really have a number that says this is it, we can hire no more.
Like I said, we are going to hire as
everybody.
Many people as we can get to qualify, get through the background, and go to the academy.
Okay, do they do the background check before they invite them to the academy?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. I just wanted to know.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
So
these results.
The way that it works is, so we have a current hiring process. You apply with us now. You have to apply while the process is open.
Okay.
The process will close January 11th.
So you've got a little bit of time, but not much.
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's really not, it goes by fast. So the application is online. You can go to our recruiting website, jointucsonpd.org, and you can apply online. So once you click apply, it'll take you to the city's job announcement. You scroll to the bottom of that page. It'll give you all the description about the minimum requirements, what to expect with the hiring process. And then when you scroll to the bottom, you click on apply now. The application is a two-part application. So there's a city's application, which has 9 different tabs that you fill out, providing, you know, your contact information, your work history, your education. You know, you'll answer questions about your criminal history.
Okay, let's talk about criminal history. I just got out of prison, and I want to be a law enforcement officer. How is that going to fly?
Well, were you in prison for a felony? Because we already talked, you can't have felony convictions. So that's something that I get a lot. I have people contact me all the time asking questions about, you know, oh, I have this in my background and can I still become a police officer?
Like parking tickets or accidents or, you know, goofy things.
So
stupid things when you were growing up, you did stupid things.
Right.
And now you're not stupid.
I call that life experience.
Exactly.
That it truly is. You are bringing life, your life's experiences to the table.
Right.
So, you know, and those are all things that are going to be taken into consideration. You obviously have to be honest about your criminal history because if you're lying from the get-go, you don't meet
you won't be hired.
Character traits that we're looking for.
If you were arrested for something or put in, you know, in jail for something and you say, oh, that didn't happen, it wasn't me. When actually they've got the record in their hand.
Right.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
So, be honest and explain what happened.
Right. Exactly. That's what we want from officers, right?
We
want you to be honest.
Exactly.
If you can't go to court and testify.
Yeah.
You're,
you have to be honest.
Right. So, where was I? Oh, the application. So you fill out the application and then on the first page of the application, when you scroll through these questions, at the very bottom, there's going to be under question 23, a acknowledgement that you have to fill out a what's called a preliminary applicant questionnaire. And you click on a link and it takes you to a separate web page and you have to answer a series of questions there. You complete those two things and you've successfully completed your application. So once you've completed your application, human resources will look it over. They'll determine whether you meet minimum qualifications. And if you do, January 20th, they're going to send out invitations with instructions on how to attend and sign up for the written test and the physical test. We have testing weekend scheduled for February 6th and 7th. That's going to, both days will offer a physical test in the morning and a written test in the afternoon. And you can either take, it's a self sign up, so you can take both the same day and knock it out and get it over with. Or if you want to take one test one day and the other the next to split it up, you can absolutely do that. So we're trying to, you know, make it a little more applicant friendly. Yes.
Yeah, as easy as possible. On these tests, what, given us an example of some of the questions.
The written test, and that's another question that I get pretty often. The written test consists of, there's a memorization component. So you look at some bulletins and, you know, study, like wanted flyers, and you have 20 minutes to study them. And then there's a series of questions. They take the flyers away, and then there's a series of questions based off of those flyers. So that's like a memorization component. Then there's written communication and report writing. The test consists of a lot of reading. You get it's 100 questions. It's all multiple choice, and you have 2 hours to complete it. A lot of people take the entire 2 hours. I would, because I'm a slow reader. So there's the reading comprehension, and then there's some reasoning and analytical ability, which is kind of in the form of mapping, where you'll have a map in front of you, and the questions are, how do you get from point A to point B most effectively? And then
call Uber.
Options. Yes. So that's the written portion. And then we have the physical component, which is based off of the Cooper standard. So there's, if you look it up, if you Google Cooper standard, or if you go to our recruiting website, it's on there. It's even posted in the job announcement, a link. There's a chart, and it's based off of your age and your gender, where you need to be at. So to pass the test, there's four components. There's a 1.5-mile run, a 300-meter sprint, one minute of sit-ups, and push-ups to exhaustion. You're laughing at me. and so you have to pass at a 30th percentile within your gender and your age. And so you determine that by looking up the chart. Now, for me, I know you're going to find this shocking. I don't have the greatest upper body strength. So where I lack in push-ups, if I score lower in push-ups, I can make up for that in the run and in the sit-ups. So if I get a 60th percentile in one event, it's going to make up for the effect that I got a 20th percentile in another.
Okay,
does that make
so
sense?
It's an
so
overall,
you have to get an overall beyond 30% or above.
That's a lot
to move
less
on
intimidating.
To move on in the application process, once you get to the academy, it's 60% to pass for Arizona Post.
Would you recommend, you know, and I, my former brother-in-law wanted to work for corrections, and I told him, you have to go look it up, know what you, they're going to ask you, get some sample exams, and be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just walk in cold turkey. And with the physical training, get to the gym.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Doing what they expect of you.
When I talk to people recruiting every day, I can't emphasize enough, make it your lifestyle now. Like today, if you're going to apply with us in this process and you're like, oh, I haven't been working out, I'm not ready, you can be. If you start now, so the testing weekend is the first weekend of February. If you start now and just work out a little bit every day and just increase, you can have yourself in the physical ability to just pass the test to get through the process by February.
But
it's
don't
doable.
Walk in cold turkey.
Yeah.
No.
Because that's not going to work
so,
for you.
So, and the other side of that is I can't emphasize enough, you have to make it your lifestyle now, because you need, you can't just work out to get in shape to get through the application process. You need to prepare yourself for the academy. So when we talked about the academy earlier, we talked about, you know, all the different trainings that you're going to be doing and the fact that you're sitting in a classroom for a long period of time, learning the laws and taking different classes. So you need the best physical shape that you're in then. When you get there and you do 2 hours of PT in the morning and then you have to go sit through a classroom or sit in a classroom and retain information for the next 6 hours.
And not fall asleep.
Not fall asleep.
Yep.
You
have you
need
had
to
people
be
fall
in
asleep?
Good physical condition.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
What do they do to them?
So if they do have that urge to fall asleep, they have to stand up.
They have to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, that makes
sense.
We're
not paying you to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's you
not,
get paid
that's
when
not
you
safe.
Go to the academy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And when do the benefits start?
I don't
start?
Think I could do that for free.
And when do the benefits start? After you're on the department?
So it depends on what benefits we're talking about. I believe the health care benefits start like right away as you become an employee.
Okay.
However, like the 6 weeks of parental leave and the tuition reimbursement, I believe you have to be employed for a year before those benefits kick in.
Okay, let's talk about tuition reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through the academy, does that count for any college credits?
Yes. So I encourage anyone that is pursuing a career in law enforcement but doing education first to contact me so I can talk to them about that. Especially, this is why I love going to high schools and talking to kids who already have an interest in it. So when you go through our academy, you're going to get approximately 40, 42 credits from Pima Community College.
Okay.
So...
Mm-hmm. That's nothing to
sneeze like,
at.
No.
And they're paying you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you don't want to take classes right out of high school that you're going to get credit for. Now, if you're going to complete your entire degree before you become a police officer, fantastic. I will not discourage you from that at all. But this is why I like talking to high school kids, because not everyone has scholarships or parents that are going to pay for college. A lot of kids don't know what their options are. And so if they're going to go back to school, start with their general education. They can start taking general education, you know, the English requirements, the math requirements,
all your 101
you know, speaking.
Stuff.
Yeah. Do that. And then when you get to the academy, you'll get those credits for, you know, the law classes and
everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
that's incentive.
Right.
That's
so
huge incentive.
If anybody wants to call me, I'm more than happy to talk to them about that.
Give me your
that.
Cell number.
520-307-1253. You can call me. You can text me. If I don't answer, leave a message. I'm serious. Like,
she doesn't answer.
Leave a message or send a text and I will get back to you when I can. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, this is serious, and we're joking around, but this is serious. TPD needs kids, needs people to apply and not just, you know, be the vigilantes in the neighborhood They need people who have all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of empathy and life experience.
Skill sets.
And if you're thinking, gee, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Try this.
And this is a great time. I can't emphasize this enough to join our department at least with the when we were talking earlier about attrition and the need for officers. There's a ton of opportunity. The nice thing about the Tucson Police Department is that we're a large enough agency that we have approximately 28 different special assignments. If you promote to detective, we have.
Can you name them all?
No, probably not. But special assignments, you're talking, people are always interested in canine. They're always interested in SWAT. Special assignments, I'm a recruiter. That's a special assignment. There's part-time special assignments. There's full-time. She's still on probation. She's brand new.
You're 3 years.
You're pointing at her asking.
You're on probation for 3 years?
No.
Okay, 18 months.
Apply for special assignments or promotion until you've hit the 3 year mark. Cause you have to gain some experience. Experience and knowledge. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Learn the job and then move up from there. But 3 years flies by. I can't believe
Absolutely.
I've been on for 15 years. 18 months probation flies by. So at 3 years, you can start testing for special assignments or detective. And at 4 years, you can start testing for sergeant. Once you've been a sergeant for a year, you can test for lieutenant and so on
and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there is room for growth here.
Absolutely. And that was the point I was just making, is that with all the movement, the eligibility of people to retire, there's going to be a lot of opportunity. Pretty much anything, any special assignment or anything you want to do, you may not get it right at 3 years, but if you work hard, do trainings and gear your career, your experiences towards what your goal is, pretty much any goal is attainable.
What about the crime lab?
That's
a different group of people?
Yes. Okay. Those are civilian employees. They don't go through the academy.
Okay.
I'm sure they have their own training that they go through. We actually just closed a hiring process for crime scene specialist. Okay. But
the CSI people.
Yes.
Yeah.
it's just like on TV.
Have you ever watched it? I've never watched it because I know I'd be mad at the TV.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining.
Take it with a grain of salt.
You definitely go out on calls and people have an expectation or an idea.
Okay, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah. You don't have an answer? What do you
do? Yeah.
So what else are we looking for? You talk about opportunities.
Yes.
Let's talk about, some of the benefits and opportunities. You get, obviously you had a baby while you were on the department, so.
I did. I had my third child. And the benefits are better now than they were when I had my son. So now the city of Tucson offers 6 weeks of parental leave. You have to be employed for a year before that kicks in. But that's outside of your regular
medical
vacation or sick leave balances. If you want to talk, I guess, benefits, it would be, the healthcare benefits. One of the things that drew me to this job when I had told you benefits was retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to work now, much less for the rest of my life. I'm just kidding. But no, retirement was something that was important to me. And I've seen both examples. I've seen my grandparents who set themselves up for retirement, and then I saw my parents who didn't set themselves up for retirement, and I want to be set up for retirement.
So that was
one of the things that really drew me.
And this is one of the jobs that has some really
one of very few
benefits. Yes, because most jobs don't have those kind of benefits.
Right.
So you really need to consider that.
Right.
And who wants to work when they're, 70 years old and you're still out there in your patrol car?
You know what? There are some.
Yeah, there are some.
I think that says a lot about this job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people who choose to stay in this job. And it really is. We get a bad rap, but it really is a great job. The the experiences that you have, the opportunities that I've had to help people or to be a part of something bigger, way bigger than me, is, I mean, it's endless.
I know we're always hearing about, you know, what somebody did wrong.
Right.
It's so seldom you hear about what goes on right.
Right.
And a month ago, there was a picture of a TPD officer helping a guy with his wheelchair.
Yes.
He had to fix his wheelchair.
Yep.
I've seen law enforcement officers give their lunch to people who didn't have something to eat.
Right.
Or go buy toys for a child for Christmas or their birthday.
So the hard part is a lot of us don't come into this job to promote our good deeds. And I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah.
When I was out in patrol, if someone wanted to bring attention to something I did, that was the last thing I wanted, because personally, I felt like if you're promoting my good deed, it takes away from the good. Right?
Like, I don't feel good anymore because you just promoted it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I did it just to look good. Right.
Exactly.
So that's something that we struggle with as officers, is we know what we've done. We know the good work that's being done every single day, every minute, every hour, mm-hmm. all across the nation, not in just Tucson.
And 24/7. It's not like you worked last
right.
night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, here you are.
Blurry eyed. Louis Vuitton bags, thank you.
The opportunities that you have in this career is amazing. And the things that you experience, like, sometimes it's really hard and sometimes it's really good. And the bonds that you create with people and the friendships that you make. The only other job that I could even think that you could compare it to is the military. I think that's probably the only other job where you're going to have the kinds of bonds and experiences with people that you have.
You're joining a family.
Yes,
when you
absolutely.
Join a police department or a fire department or a military unit, you're joining a family.
Yeah.
And you know these people. You learn how to know these people, trust in them, and you know what they're capable of and what they're going to do in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to ask or tell. You know it.
Yep. People ask me all the time, you know, what my favorite part about being a police officer is. And hands down, it is the people that I work with.
Yep.
Like, every day there's an example of someone who's so much better than I am. And, you know, it's inspiring. And they're not doing it for the attention. They're doing it because they're genuinely good people.
Yes.
And I'm not sitting here telling you that every cop out there is the best person in the world. I'm not saying that at all.
Every industry has a bad apple someplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen a lot of them. But
and,
a majority of law enforcement and people who like the sheriff's department, and they are good people who want to help other people be good and
right.
do the right
mm-hmm.
thing.
Right.
And, you know, just it's commendable that you're out here promoting. So give us some dates again.
So we are now hiring. The process closes January 11th. Invitations will go out January 20th. Testing weekend for the physical and the written test is scheduled for February 6th and 7th. You can text me personally at 520-307-1253. That's my department cell phone number. You can call me. If I don't answer, leave a message. I will get back to you. Or you can text join TPD to 474747. You can go to our recruiting website for more information or to apply. JoinTucsonPD.org. Again, that's JoinTucsonPD.org.
And Tucson is spelled out.
TUCSON.
Okay.
Tucson.
Tucson, yeah. I've heard people say that. I'm like, oh, okay, you're not from here. Okay. What would you tell, Christina, what would you tell people about your experience, and what did you like, and what scared you?
I would have to say it's been a long journey. One of the hardest things that I've done, but absolutely the most rewarding, by far. What scared me? It was definitely day two in the academy.
Day two?
Day two.
Intimidating, is it?
And I showed up to day two, and I'm like, you can do this. You can do this. Just give me today. It gets better, I promise.
What did you do on day two?
Should I ruin the surprise?
Okay, never mind. Do they teach you any medical training?
Yes.
So you have first aid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
have you delivered any babies?
No, but I have heard of officers that have.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know that's one of the things. Like, okay, you're going to deliver a baby.
Yeah, ooh, it just happens.
I've given birth to a baby. Yeah. I mean, three.
We all have. But somebody else's.
Yeah. It's been amazing. And like how Melissa said, like, it's definitely the people that you work with. I've been fortunate, and I have not ran into a bad officer. My squad is amazing. All the officers that I work with are absolutely amazing.
Do you work out of Miracle Mile?
Yes, I do.
Do all of them? Does everybody?
No.
There's a place on Elbernon.
There's four different substations and then the main station downtown. So there's South Side, West Side, East Side, Midtown, and then the main station downtown.
Okay.
So part of the reason I asked Christine to join me today and on Wednesday for the Women in Law Enforcement event. And so if anybody wants to register, they can go to our website to do that as well. Was because I recruited her, and I went to her and I was like, so do you feel like I lied to you about anything?
So before COVID, we had an open house, and Melissa walks in, and I was just like, wow, I want to be like her.
30 seconds.
But she was completely honest of the experience that you're going to experience in the academy and outside the academy.
So this is an opportunity for everybody who's listening to get online and go apply. I want to tell everybody, thank you for listening today. I want to thank you both, especially the night shift. I want to thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Until next week, shop local, stay safe.